America Weekend.
And we continue on, Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. Roland, please.
Well, Carl, we were talking about, you know, what George Washington just a few minutes ago, and about the painting of him crossing the Delaware. What a lot of people don't realize or remember is what happened after he crossed the Delaware, and of course, the Battle of Trenton. The Hessian commander, a guy named Colonel Johann Rahl, was at his headquarters, and they were basically, as you remember, celebrating Christmas.
That's correct.
With, I imagine, a little bit of libation. And maybe some card playing and stuff. Anyway, the story goes that Rahl told his aides no interruptions. Apparently, a loyalist spy rushed into camp with word that Washington had crossed the Delaware, and his aides made the spy write it down so they could give a note to Colonel Rahl, and not interrupt him, right? They took it in, gave Rahl the note. He put it in his pocket, his vest pocket, continued playing cards and drinking, and it wasn't until the battle ensued and he was dying that somebody opened up the note that said Washington had crossed the Delaware. Rahl never knew and never opened it up. And the whole history might have been changed.
Once again, history might have changed on a note.
Yeah.
Speaking of that. Yes.
We have as our next guest a very interesting man. His name is Dave Richards. He's the author of Swords in Their Hands, George Washington and the Newburgh Conspiracy. I got a copy of this, Carl, and it's fascinating. I'll loan it to you.
Oh, please.
You must return it to me.
I promise you.
Along with the seven other books you have. Anyway.
They're coming.
Yeah, right. Richards served 7 years in the U.S. Army, primarily in military intelligence. He earned a bachelor's in Russian language and literature from George Washington University and a master's in Slavic and East European languages and literature from Ohio State. He was on the faculty of the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. He taught Russian to members of our armed forces. And later, after the Cold War, he taught English overseas. But he's now the author of this magnificent book, Swords in Their Hands, George Washington and the Newburgh Conspiracy. And he's on the phone right now. And I thank you very much, Dave, for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Well, thank you very much for having me on Smith Sabatino. I'm looking forward to the interview.
Well, me too. You have a great military background, and you understand the military mind. How is the military mind today different from, or is it similar to, the military mind of General Washington's Continental Army?
Well, I think it's similar, really. If you join the armed forces today, you expect that the government will take care of some of your basic needs, for example, adequate food, clothing, and, of course, pay. That's the social contract that you enter into. You do your duty to your country, and in exchange for that, the government will take care of those basic needs. And I would add one more need, medical treatment if you're wounded in battle. If the government does not fulfill its end of the bargain, then it's breaking a social contract. During the Revolutionary War, the government certainly broke its end of the bargain because it wasn't paying George Washington's army. They went without pay for months, if not years. To give you one example, by the fall of 1782, the famous General Baron von Steuben had gone without pay for 3 years. And in one letter, Washington speculated that some in his army had not been paid in 6 years. Imagine fighting for your country's independence, putting your life on the line for your country, and not receiving a single cent of your pay for 6 years. It was quite amazing that George Washington kept his army together. Now, today, of course, we have another problem. We have the VA scandal, so the government is really not fulfilling its end of the bargain. It's breaking that social contract. And also, I've heard reports, I don't know if they're true, that some members of our armed forces make so little in pay that they have to go on food stamps to support their families. So I think the mindset is the same, and unfortunately the things that members of our armed forces expect are not being received all the time. Better than during Washington's time, but not perfect by any stretch of the means.
It seems that we train our warriors to be a machine and then forget about them once we have used what that machine can do.
That's an excellent observation. And I'm really glad you mentioned that, because near the end of the Revolutionary War, that was the mindset of the officers. They felt that as long as they were needed, people would look up to them and treat them with respect, and they would get some of the things that they needed. But as soon as they weren't necessary, they and their soldiers would be disbanded and all the promises would be forgotten. The officers, for example, had been promised by Congress a nice post-war pension, and they were very fearful that once the hostilities ended, that Congress would just say, the heck with that promise, we won't bother providing pensions to our officers.
Well, your book, Swords in Their Hands, George Washington and the Newburgh Conspiracy, really relays some interesting points where we could have been in deep kimchi here. I think some of the conspiracy talk had ever come to the fore.
Yes, I definitely agree with you, and George Washington and Alexander Hamilton would have agreed with you if they were talking with you on the line today. Near the end of the Revolutionary War, they felt that there was a real danger that the Union would break up. They had heard the reports that the army was ready to revolt, and they knew that the ties between the states were not very strong near the end of the war. They were quite weak. The states didn't trust each other, much like they did not trust the national government, Congress. So there was a real possibility, they thought, that this revolution would end in chaos or maybe even a civil war.
Did Washington stop this in its tracks?
Yes, he did stop the conspiracy in March 1783. What happened? I don't want to reveal the ending for readers, but he ended up showing up at a meeting of the officers. He surprised them. They didn't expect him to show up at this meeting. They were going to plot a course on how to force Congress to pay them, but he surprised them by showing up at the meeting. He spoke with them for about 10 or 15 minutes, and by the time he left, the Newburgh Conspiracy had been snuffed out, really. It was really dead. I don't want to reveal all the interesting details, but it was a real good performance on his part, and performance is probably a better word than speech.
Once again, we have been discussing here the George Washington, the character of the man. He disagreed with Hamilton, as I'm sure you might relate, many, many times.
Yes, that's true. They actually had a rupture in relations when Hamilton was a colonel under George Washington. He served for a while as an aide-de-camp to George Washington, and Washington interpreted something that Hamilton did as a sign of disrespect. He had kept him waiting for a short meeting, and Washington didn't like that. They were both very important founders, but they didn't always agree entirely on the issues of the day. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a great quote. After the Newburgh Conspiracy was snuffed out, Washington wrote a letter to Hamilton in April 1783. Hamilton had previously sent Washington a letter in which he sort of suggested that it might have been a good thing if the army had been used as it had been planned, as had been intended in this plot to force Congress to force the legislatures, the state legislatures, to give Congress pay. Hamilton thought maybe the Army could be used as an instrument to force the state legislatures to give Congress taxation authority. But Washington chided him. He said, the Army is a dangerous instrument to play with.
Boy, isn't that the truth? You know, it reminds me, what, of Voltaire's quote, power corrupts, and
power corrupts, yes.
Absolutely. Dave Richards, thank you so much for joining us and talking about your new book, Swords in Their Hands, George Washington and the Newburgh Conspiracy. I'm in the midst of reading it at the moment, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it so far, and I thank you again for writing it and for being a guest on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you for having me on your show. I enjoyed the interview, Roland and Carl.
Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on. Stay with us.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.